Hey, this is Craig Dillstrom Media.
This is DJ Kaya.
This is Elliot D'Souza.
Hey, this is Jason D'Souza from Aldona.
Hey, this is Nash Lobo from Aldona.
This is Pascal D'Souza from Kalamazoo.
Hey, this is Rohit D. Almeida.
Hey, this is Roland Mascarenhas.
Hey, guys, this is Ron Montero from Localin.
Hi, this is Roy Fernandez from Donna Paula.
This is Ryan D'Souza from Cuba.
Hey, this is Steffi DeCruz.
Hey, this is Tony Nazareth, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
That's right. Welcome back to another episode of the GSL Podcast. If it feels like it's been forever, that's probably because it has been. It's been almost a month since we recorded the last episode where I had to announce that the podcast will be ending at the end of this season. After that announcement, I received a lot of messages from listeners giving their support to the podcast and their appreciation. A bunch of people messaging me, kind of begging me not to leave or find a replacement or still do episodes, but unfortunately it just won't be time after this season. So make sure you tune in every episode and get every last bit of podcast that you can until the season is over. This episode is going to be a mega pod as we have a lot of games to catch up on and a lot of news. So without further ado, let's jump right into the news. First up in the news, I was requested to give a shout out to the Viva Goa soccer tournament. This shout out was asked, for me to report on it actually quite a long time ago. The issue was there wasn't a podcast. So it's actually occurring this weekend on July 21st. There's a big soccer tournament happening at St. Marcelina's Secondary School in Mississauga. It's a 7-on-7 tournament with a league games, kind of round robin, and then a knockout stage with the finals happening at 4 p.m. So it sounds like it's going to be a great tournament. They have a number of teams that they are still looking for, and, you know, any last-minute entries or any other teams that want to join. So if you are interested, make sure you email info@goatoronto.com. You can also check out the GOA website. Viva Goa is one of the most storied and legendary tournaments in the Goan community. Some of my best memories as a child are playing in the Viva Goa tournament, and I think it also brought the best of competition but also camaraderie at the event. So highly encourage everyone to sign up, and also if you're not able to sign up to go watch the tournament, I think it's going to be a great one and it's going to be a great time for all. Unfortunately, we have another injury report, this one coming to Aguada. Their number one goalkeeping option, Andrew D'Souza, is out for the season with a separated shoulder. They are hoping for him to return in the playoffs. However, at this point, he does not have a timetable. Andrew was voted by the listeners of the GSL podcast the number one goalie in the league, and he previously played for York University and Team Ontario. So our best wishes go out to Andrew D'Souza. Hopefully he can have a speedy recovery and hopefully make it back in time for the end of the season.
GSL Rumor.
That's right, we have a couple of rumors on this show. First up, an update to our previous rumor. You know, we had mentioned that there were whispers about Roland Mascarenhas traveling from India to try and compete in the season. Our insiders have told us that negotiations have begun. We aren't aware of the team that's currently being negotiated with, but unfortunately, apparently one of the major roadblocks at this time is wage demands. Roland is asking for his flight to be covered, as well as five-star accommodation. And when they offered to upgrade to premium economy, Roland responded saying it's either business class or bus. So those are the current obstacles preventing him from signing a contract. But I have heard that the team is optimistic about getting a deal done before the July 31st transfer deadline. Next up on the rumor category, we were informed that there's a rumor that Kryftos Remedios is suffering from a chronic groin injury that has been limiting his play this year. However, a GSL insider reporter has come forward and said that they spotted Cruyff at the well-known nightclub Cabana in Toronto. And the insider reports, and I quote here, "I saw Cruyff on the dance floor, and I'm no doctor, but the way he was moving, there's no way that guy has a groin injury." So thanks to our insider for that accurate reporting from Cabana in Toronto. And it's a situation that we'll actively monitor going forward. Last up, we have a number of game cancellations or rescheduling to talk about. First up, on June 19th, a game between Lotulim and Aguada was rescheduled to August 8th. A huge thanks to Lotulim, who agreed to reschedule that game because Aldana would not have enough players to play. As well, all of the games on Sunday, June 24th, were not played due to a rain delay. The field was in terrible shape after a thunderstorm, and it was not safe to play, and the weather was terrible. So that all those games were canceled, and all those games will actually be played on Sunday, September 9th. What this means is that the playoffs have been pushed back 1 week, so the quarterfinals are now on September 16th, the semifinals on September 23rd, and the finals will remain on September 29th. Remember, that's a Saturday at 6 p.m. in the Centennial Stadium. I personally think the Centennial Stadium is one of the best venues to have the final. It's always a great atmosphere. There's tons of bleachers and sitting space for the fans. The field is turf, so it's in perfect condition. Although I did hear a rumor that maybe they're switching it over to grass. I'm not quite sure about that. But it's a great atmosphere, so keep that on your calendar for sure. There's always a great turnout, and it always makes it a better event. Even if your team's not playing in the finals, it's always lots of fun. That's going to be Saturday, September 29th at 6 p.m. Also, there was a game on July 5th, Donna Paula versus Lotulim, that does not have a score record on the website. I'm assuming this is because maybe it was rescheduled. Unfortunately, Keegan is not able to make it onto this podcast, so I'm not able to hear his side as to what happened with that game. And maybe that was rescheduled. Hopefully someone from Lotulim can message me and clarify the situation, or from Donna Paula, as to what happened in that game, if it was rescheduled or if it was played, who scored, and what the score was. All right, that's it for the news. Now let's jump into a ton of match recaps. First up, we have a game between Donna Paula and Aguada, played on June 22nd. Because we're so far behind, there's going to be a lot of games featuring similar teams. So rather than dive deep into every game, I'm kind of trying to recap each game with the scores and give them their shout-outs, but also kind of talk about the teams more in general as to their run of results and where they're heading and what they're aiming for as the season, you know, picks up into its later stages and as we ramp up towards playoffs. So final score for this game was Aguada 2, Donna Paula 1. Goal scorer for Donna Paula was Jay Joannes, and the goal scorers for Aguada were Steven Fernandez and Matthew Pace. So what jumped up to me right away, and this is going to be a consistent theme, is Donna Paula once again playing very, very close games. I found this season they've been a breath of fresh air. They've been much more competitive. Even playing them, it's no longer a gimme game. You actually have to really, really work. They make you run. They make you play good football. So actually, really enjoyed Donna Paula this season. Unfortunate that they keep losing these games by close margins. You're going to see some other games that were also very close, especially against a top-tier side like Aguada. So heads held high for losing only 2-1. As far as Aguada is concerned, Steven Fernandez getting another goal. Matthew Pace, a very exciting young player. And kind of, I think they're building their future around him, in my opinion. And I think he's got a great future ahead of him. So great for them to get on the score sheet and for Aguada to take care of business and get a win 2-1. Next up, we have June 26th, a banger between Margao Simba and Colva. This was a tightly fought game at Eglinton Flats with a final score of Margao 3, Colva 2. Goal scorers for Margao were Dwayne Lobo Perez with 1 and Brendan Gomes with 2. And goal scorers for Colva Football Club, Jeremy Pinto with 1 and Ryan Santiago for 1. So what jumped up immediately to me is that Dwayne Lobo Perez is becoming a very consistent name. Keegan and I talked about him on multiple episodes now, but it seems like every single week his name is coming up, and you're going to see his name later on in the podcast as well. This has probably been one of his best goal-scoring seasons, and Keegan mentions because he's playing a more advanced role, they're really relying on their youth to man the midfield, and that's pushing Dwayne farther up the field. So it's a bold move by Margao, considering how good Dwayne is in the middle. I think part of this might be because as he's getting older, he's trying to conserve more energy, and in a more advanced role, he won't have to track back or challenge as much in the middle. So it's smart from a tactical point of view. The only thing is you're then missing out on his kind of steel and hard work in the midfield. But if he continues to score goals at this greater rate, it's really going to pay off for Margao. So congratulations to him for having a great season so far. Whispers now of, you know, who's making an MVP, you know, statement for themselves. And Dwayne's got to be in the conversation. Margao traditionally has not had a lot of MVPs. They've had Elton Fernandez in the past, great legendary central defender. they've always, you know, had talented players, but they've never really been in the MVP conversation, to be brutally honest, because they're not a well-liked team. The way the MVP award works in the GSL is, you know, it's largely based on merit, team performance, how well you do, but there is always an element of your perception in the league. And if you're from a team and you're considered, you know, not the friendliest player and not the cleanest player, or your team has a bad reputation, it does hurt you in the voting. You know, a lot of people will argue that's not fair. It should be purely based on merit, on talent. But in the reality, this is a league run by a community. We all know each other. Everyone knows of each other. So your reputation does matter. So, you know, Dwayne making a good case for himself this year, if anyone's going to win it from Margao. But I'm interested to see how the season finishes out. I think a lot will depend on their big games against the top teams, and also in the playoffs, if he can continue his performance and Marga goes on a run. Remember, at the beginning of the season, I said Marga really need to reestablish themselves as a championship team, at least make the finals this year, I think, or else it's considered a failure of a season. And if they do that, I think there's a strong chance that maybe the MVP this year could come from their team. From Kolva's point of view, another great fight, 3-2, no shame in losing to Marga by a close number. They're a great team. And Kolva, I think, is, you know, sick to death of hearing me say contender versus pretender. But once again, these are the games. You know, you got, it's a tough team you're playing, but you got to step up in the big moment and get a big win. If the score was reversed and we saw Kolva 3, Marga 2, I would be giving them huge props. It's a big game to come and make a statement, beat a big team. I think it's really what they need. We'll see how they do and how they fare against the top teams. I'm interested to see, you know, if they play Margao again or if they play Lotlum, how they're going to do. Next up, we have the game on July 6th between Aldana and Aguada. Final score, Aguada 4, Aldana 0, with goals from Steven Fernandez with 2, Austin D'Souza with 1, and Ian Fernandez with 1. That's actually definitely a mistake because I was at this game, so I know for a fact it was Steven Fernandez with 2, Austin D'Souza with 1, and I believe it was Kryftos Vermedios who scored the last one. I don't think Ian Fernandez had a goal, so that's an error on the website. This was a game of two halves in the sense that, you know, Aldana, unfortunately, we're currently undergoing an injury crisis. We had 20 players signed up. At least 8 are out with season-ending injuries, meaning we've had to, you know, go into a reserve pool, really bank on people showing up. And at the start of this game, we only had 6 players. We didn't even have a goalie, actually. So we were begging the referee, you know, that there's like a grace period in the GSL and the Constitution. It's usually 10 to 15 minutes that the referee is allowed to wait before the other team forfeits. And luckily, like literally with 30 seconds to go, our goalkeeper and one other player showed up. So we started the game short. People were then arriving, and we eventually were playing one man down. And the funny thing is when you're playing really short and you don't have, you know, the subs on your bench, it kind of creates a us against them mentality, and we're against the world and an underdog mentality. I think that actually really helped us. I was interested to get Keegan's thoughts on this, so maybe I can ask him next week. But can that galvanize a team and actually make you play better? And that was the case in the first half. I mean, Aguada is going to be the first team to tell you they played terrible in the first half. They were awful. And I'm not sure it's because they just kind of took it as a gimme because we were so shorthanded, or they had a specific strategy to wear us down. But instantly, you know, 5 minutes in, they were yelling at each other saying, let's go back to our normal strategy. This isn't working. They had almost no offense. They were giving away the ball. And actually, we had by far more chances just on the counterattack, but we were not able to finish. Terrible finishing on our part. So I think Aguada will be the first to tell you they were disappointed with their play. The issue is when you have a talented team with Aguada, all they need is one chance and they'll punish you. And that's exactly what happened in about the 35th minute. Ball bouncing outside the box to Steven Fernandez, who a one-time volley blasted it into the bottom right corner. So a great goal by him. And other than that one shot, he barely had touched the ball or had a shot on net in the first half. So it just goes to show with these lethal players, you can't leave them open even for a second. And then the second half, you know, our fatigue started to show. Aguada played much better in the second half and managed to keep up the pressure and score more goals. So there was an early one at the beginning of the half and then two more later in the game. And personally, I just felt like it was a tale of two halves. We were very strong in the beginning, but you know, the goals kind of dampened our spirits, and then the fatigue took over, and Aguada's talent came through. So, good win for Aguada, a 4-0 showing for them, and disappointing on our part. Next up, we have Sunday, July 8th. We'll start off with Donapala 1, Bugmala 1. This was actually a great game and a very hotly contested game. Both teams having great chances going back and forth. I managed to watch some of this game. And The sad thing is that Donna Paula was in the lead 1-0 for almost the entire game with Daniel D'Souza getting their goal. However, Bugmali, you know, they're a tricky team. They never really give up. They have a good mentality that way. And almost right at the end, Wilbur De Cruz with a great goal to tie it up 1-1. So, you know, Bugmali was really celebrating. They were going wild. But Donna Paula, just an absolutely heartbreaking result for them. They were this close to getting a win. And as I said, they stayed very competitive with a lot of teams. But this is the type of game, you know, versus Bugmali that you want to take advantage of them missing a few players and really get a win under your belt just for morale and just to kind of let people know, hey, we are a goal-scoring threat. We can get a win. We can be rock solid defensively and keep a clean sheet. So I think a missed opportunity for them and a real heartbreaker at the end of the game. From Bagmala's point of view, yeah, they might come away happy that they got a point. But at the same time, when you're playing teams in the bottom half of the table, you really have to try and maximize and get all 3 points. And that's not what Bagmala did this time. Next up, we have Aguada versus Lotlem. Lotlem 3, Aguada 1. Goal for Aguada by Duran Pereira. And for Lotlem, it was Keegan with 1, Kyle Coelho with 1, and Nicholas Green with 1. So I did watch the beginning of this game. It was shocking because Aguada was missing a bunch of their players, but they were up 1-0. I actually could not believe what I was watching. Duran with a great goal, and they took the lead 1-0. However, you know, I spoke about how Bugmalo has this mentality where they're going to keep going. Lotlem is like a machine. They're just like churning, and the pressure just builds and builds and builds. And in order to beat them, you really have to play hard for the entire game. You literally can't switch off at all. And this just became a game of attrition with Lotlem grinding Aguada down and then getting 3 solid goals by themselves. So Lotlem continues their run of not having a loss. They've only had 1 tie this year, and that was a game against Marga that they were missing a lot of their roster, including their goalies. So, you know, they left that tie thinking that it was 3 points in their pocket. So a great win for Lotlem against Aguada. These are, you know, the defending finals and champions of the previous years, so always going to be an exciting game to watch. Unfortunately, because Aguada is not at full strength, which they usually aren't until the playoffs, it wasn't as close a game as we would like. I would love to have one of these regular season games just be full squad versus full squad, both teams going at it, you know, battling for position. I'm thinking that it's really going to take 2 heavyweights having a full roster and maybe the league title be on the line or some kind of, you know, reputation or something at stake. And that's why I'm looking forward to the final game in August, August 26th, 10:30 a.m., Lotlem versus Margao. That could have, you know, huge ramifications. I don't think it'll have first place on the line. I think Margao will have fallen too far behind for that. But going into the playoffs, if Margao could beat Lotlem or send a message that they are beatable or Lotlem could finish another season undefeated, that's going to be a game to watch out for. I'm really, really excited for that one. So I highly recommend on August 26th, if you're available at 10:30 a.m. to go check out that. It's going to be a clash of 2 heavyweights. Final game I have to talk about was an absolute scorcher. This was one of the best games I've ever participated in between Aldana and Margao. Basically, you guys will remember when we met in a quarterfinal match, it was one of the craziest quarterfinals I've ever seen or played in, and it went to extra time. It was 1-1 after regular time. We had a red card. They got a red card during extra time to make it 10-on-10. Went to penalty shootouts. They just kept going back and forth. Went to 9 shooters. That's right, 9 before we finally managed to get a win and advance to the semis. So there's been a recent history of some great games. Earlier in the season when we played them, they were up by 2-0. We came back 2-2. So another great game to be a part of. Just some great matches recently, and this one was no different. So spend a little more time just explaining what happened because you really had to be there to experience it. And a lot of teams were watching, so it was great to see some fans out. The first thing I'll give a shout out to Margao is their fans. They were there early, and they were there in numbers. Keep in mind, this was a 10:30 a.m. game. I got there on 10 a.m. and already Margao fans were lining up in the shade, getting their spots, getting their chairs set up. Margao had a ton of people there. They were getting ready for their warm-up. So because Margao has absorbed mops, so they now have they're spoiled for talent and also for subs. So they have a huge roster they can go to. They have a lot of depth, and some of their mops or recruits are actually coming forward and stepping in for them. So heading into the game, I knew that they would be prepared, and just their fans, they were so vocal. There were so many of them. It was great to see such great support for a team. So shout out to them, maybe trying to make a play for that best fan award at the end of the season. So the game started off, and our game plan, once again, we were short players, down a man. All we said was just play defense and counterattack and just stay compact. Don't give away easy goals. And that's what we're going to do. So when we looked at our team, we had begged our players to show up because we knew it would be short. And I got to give a massive shout out. Byron Correa, this guy's wife, I'm not even joking here. This guy's wife was in the hospital. Not in labor yet, but very close to heading towards labor to deliver their first child together. And he came to play. And boy, did he play. By far the MVP of the match, Byron Correa. But I don't know of any player that would show up to help his team when their wife is in the hospital and they have their first child on the way. Now, many of you listening are going to think Byron's crazy. And what are you doing leaving your wife? It's your first kid. She must have been mad, blah, blah, blah. But no, his wife gave him all clear. She had her mom there and she said, just take your phone with you. And we had his phone on loud on the side. And we knew if it rang, he leaves immediately. He goes. The hospital's nearby. But huge loyalty on behalf of Byron. And I'm happy to report they had a young, healthy boy named Kai later on in the week. So congratulations to them. But probably one of the most dedicated performances I've ever seen from a player. And huge shout out to him. And if you see him in real life, make sure you nag him about, leaving his wife at the hospital just to play a GSL game. But if that's not dedication, I don't know what is. So unfortunately, Byron came to the game a little bit late, was obviously a little bit rusty, and about 30 seconds into the game, gave away a penalty to Marga. So instantly I thought this game's over, they're up 1-0, and like 30 seconds in the game, our entire plan is out the window. But Dwayne stepped up to take the penalty, and he had a history of, in the quarterfinal, missing a crucial penalty that caused us to win. And also earlier in the season, though, he took a penalty and scored. So he went bottom right and Ryden Pereira in net for Aldana with a diving save to keep it out of bounds and keep the score 0-0. So this was a huge morale boost to us. I thought, we could recover from this and play a much better game. Unfortunately, about 20 minutes later, Marga with a great give and go. This resulted in some good play on their left wing, leading to a shot in the box by Stefan Ribello going not top right corner, but kind of middle right, far post. Great shot. And Marga went in the lead 1-0. So we kept our head. We knew we just had to stay cool. And luckily, near the end of the half, we had a free kick on the left side with Byron crossing it in. And I met it in the air and headed into the bottom left corner to tie the game up 1-1. So going into half, it was 1-1. Keep in mind, this was a scorching hot day. All the teams playing that day, it was almost 30, 40 degrees. There were water breaks, and boy, were they needed. So we were very happy with 1-1. We kept our game plan. Same thing, stay compact, hit him on the counterattack. And that's actually what we did in the second half with Josh Pereira doing a great give and go and sending Richard Fernandez on a through ball. Richard Fernandez slotting in the bottom left corner. Great first touch finish. And the score was 2-1. And we were going crazy because we thought, oh my God, we were just trying to tie this game or, be competitive. We're so short on players and we're so exhausted and we're up 2-1 against Margao. So we were really, really happy and the water break happened. So we knew we only had 20 minutes left in the game. So we just wanted to hang on. But the one thing we said at the water break, which is a lesson for all teams, is when you have that lead, if you just try and hang on to the lead, play different defense, park the bus, it's not like the pros where they're the most organized teams like on the planet and you watch them and all 5D shift together, all 5 mid shift together, the forward tracks back. It's not like that in the GSL, obviously. When you just try and park the bus and kick it out, it never works. The pressure always ramps up. So we kind of actively said at the break, do not just play defense. We still got to attack. We still got to maintain possession because remember, every second you have the ball on offense is one less second you have to play defense. They can't score when you have the ball on offense. So sometimes the best defense is a good offense. So that was our mentality heading out of the break. But unfortunately, about 3 minutes in, a great pass by Margo from the left side, curling it into the 18-yard box to Carlton Fernandez. Now, this was a point that we got very upset because Carlton scored and we all thought he was offside. We were yelling at the ref said no, the linesman said it's not offside, so we were very upset. But forget the offside call, you're gonna get calls back and forth, who knows, we'll always say he's offside, they'll always say he's not offside. I don't care about that. This finish, oh my God, it curled into the 18-yard box. Carlton ran up to it and one time volleyed it with his right foot into the top left corner. It was kind of like that Tim Cahill goal from the 2014 World Cup for Australia, but that was like the inverted side. They were on the right, they crossed it to the left, and he one-timed it with his left foot. This is like one of the most gorgeous goals I've ever seen. So offside, not offside, who cares for the moment? What a finish by Carlton. And he was going wild. I mean, more power to him. I'd go wild too. And their team was going wild. They were running around him. And their mentality was not like, oh, we tied. Their mentality was get the ball, get it to half. We're going to win this game. And I was very, very worried at this point because, you know, as I said, you don't want to collapse and we're all exhausted and the pressure keeps ramping up. And basically with 5 minutes left, Brendan Gomes with the ball outside the box, left-footed shot into the bottom right corner, right in with the save. But as a goalie, it's very difficult. It's not enough to just make the save. You have to make the save and push the ball away from a dangerous area or catch the ball, you know, prevent more offense. It's very difficult to do. And unfortunately, the ball bounced off right and came out, and Gavin DeMello was there, poacher that he is, to blast it in the net and give Margaret the lead 3-2. So they were going wild. They knew the game. They knew they wanted to win that game. It was very crucial for them. And our heads were down. But, you know, we said, you know, there's 5 minutes left to just try and keep pushing. And luckily, we had a corner kick that resulted in a header outside the box. But then our player was fouled outside the 18-yard box. So obviously, I wanted to take this free kick. But, you know, taking a free kick at the end of the game, Margaret was complaining how much time is left. And the referee said, this is the last kick. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure when you're losing. But a couple of things I felt really boosted my confidence. One was that right away, two players on my team, our captains, Garrick Nazrin and Jason D'Souza, said, this is Wendell's ball. So everyone kind of cleared the air. They just gave me my space, time to focus. So I think that's a good thing a lot of teams should do. A lot of teams, you have people fighting over who wants to take it. And sometimes it can mess with your mind. Am I going to disappoint the team? Is everyone going to think, oh, he should have taken it? I think if you had designated penalty takers and designated free kick takers, it really helps with the confidence and the mentality of the team. Just, you know, nope, free kick, it's that guy's ball. So that really helped. Also, Margot lined up their wall and Brendan Gomes was kind of trash talking, saying, oh, Wendell's taking it. Like, don't worry. Oh my God, Wendell's going to take it. So that also kind of motivated me. And luckily, I was fortunate enough to blast the ball top right corner and we were just going nuts. Bogmalo, Donapala, everyone was watching. They were going crazy too. I'm happy to say one of the best free kicks I've ever taken. And you guys know me, you know I like to joke about when I score and stuff, but I'm just like you, I get emotional in these games, and I just really didn't want us to lose that game. We fought so hard, and both teams played well, but I really thought we deserved at least a draw. So just to tie it up in the last second like that, all these emotions came rushing out. We were going crazy, running down the field. It was just an awesome moment and something I'm never going to forget. So great end to the game, and it ended final score 3-3. I think from Marga's point of view, I don't think they'll be too upset because they were down 2-1 and they fought back and got the lead. And then they lost just on a free kick at the end. That happens. So I think the fact that they got a point, I don't think they'll be too upset. Obviously, they prefer the 3 points, especially with a late what appeared to be a winner. And from our point of view, we were thrilled with a tie as we need to really recoup and gather our strength and numbers. Finally, the last game to talk about was Kolva versus Aldona. On July 13th. This is an update on the website, but the game did finish 1-0 in favor of Kolva. It was a close game. Possession was, you know, relatively even or leaning towards our side, but there was a handball in the box by Aldona leading to a penalty shot. The website, unfortunately, does not have the score, so I'm hoping a Kolva player can message me and let me know who scored for them. And this resulted in a final score of Kolva 1, Aldona 0. So tough loss for us. Once again, people showing up late or we're not having enough numbers. So this is something we really have to try and work on personally in our team, just heading into the playoffs and trying to deal with all these injuries. So I know there's some other teams too that are struggling for you know, a full roster at game time. So it's not something we want to see with any team. We want teams at full strength, at least 11 on 11, you know, playing a good solid team. And hopefully that's what's going to happen going forward. So that's it for this podcast. I know that was a lot of recaps to go through, but I think there were some great games. I spent a little bit longer on the Aldona Mara game for two reasons. One, I was there, so I was able to give a little more detail. And also on a personal note, just for myself, it was a great moment and just a really great uplifting time for our team. So I wanted to share that with you. Looking ahead, I'm hoping to have Keegan back on the next episode. Things are crazy busy at work, so that's why it's hard to get a weekly episode out. But I know you guys keep messaging me and you're looking forward to these recaps, especially the people that can make the games on a consistent basis. So I'm going to try my best. I give you my word about that. So that's it for this week's episode, and join us next week for a brand new episode.